I was called one of the great prophets of Israel. Whether or not I was a great prophet, you'll have to decide for yourselves. The fact is, I did not choose to be a prophet. If I had known what was in store for me, I probably would have done what Jonah did. When the Lord called him to preach to Nineveh, I would have run away in the opposite direction. One day the great Yahweh came to me and said, "Ezekiel, I have chosen you to be a watchman over Israel." And that was that. I was a prophet, and I had no choice. My name means God will strengthen. Little did I know how much strength God would need to give me just to bear the message that was entrusted to me. You see, I was not only to give a message, I was called on to be the message. I was the object lesson of the Lord. The Lord had a message of judgment to speak to the inhabitants of Judah as to how they were to suffer, and it was my unique job as a prophet not just to speak the message, but to suffer it right before their eyes. Let me tell you how it happened. The Holy Land consisted of 12 tribes of Israel, and after the death of David and Solomon, those 12 tribes split into the northern and southern kingdoms. The northern kingdom had 10 tribes and was called Israel. The southern kingdom was the tribes of Judah and Simeon and was called Judah. In the year 721 BC, the Lord made an end to the northern kingdom because they had become so terribly wicked, and not even the great prophets of the Lord whom the Lord sent to them could stem the tide of evil. The southern kingdom lasted another 140 years. They had some great kings down there for a while and some great prophets to whom the people listened. But the southern kingdom also became terribly wicked and left the Lord for other gods. So the Lord made an end to them also. In the year 586 BC, when the Chaldeans came down from Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar. 20 years before Nebuchadnezzar came and made a complete end to them, he journeyed to Judah with his armies and took some captives with him back to Babylon. He took the choicest young men, among whom was a man named Daniel, very young at the time. Then, 9 years later, in 597 BC, he came back with his army and took some more of us captive. I was among those later captives. We were not really slaves because we had much freedom. We were even given our own land and flocks, but we were still exiles and we were still away from home. Nebuchadnezzar wanted some of us up there to work the land. We Jews were together in one place and I was their priest. My friend Jeremiah was left behind in Jerusalem and was called by God to be the prophet there in Judah, while I was called to be prophet and priest among the exiles in Chaldea. I know I've already complained about being a prophet in Chaldea, but the job Jeremiah was given to do was much harder. So after I had been in Chaldea for 5 years, I was standing by the river Kabar when suddenly a great wind came out of the north and a great cloud with fire and lightning were flashing out as if from a storm. It looked as if it was gleaming bronze. This was in July of 592 BC. And as I watched in wonder, four living creatures came forward towards me, each having the form of a man, but they were not men. They each had four wings, and as they walked, they did not turn right or left, but came straight toward me. Each had four faces. On the front was the face of a man, to the right was the face of a lion, to the left the face of an ox, and on the back the face of an eagle. Their feet were not human feet, but more like calves' feet. So you can imagine my terror as these things were walking towards me. And then I saw four wheels, each one with a living creature. And actually, those four wheels were like wheels within wheels that could move in any direction. And each wheel was covered with eyes in and around, and they were all looking in every direction, and covering this entire scene was a firmament, almost like a rainbow. And above the firmament, one seated who looked like a son of man. When he appeared, the living creatures flattened their wings down on the ground, and they knelt there, and he spoke to me. Of course, I knelt too. Actually, I fell flat down on my face on the ground. I don't know what else you would have done. That's what I did. And then he spoke to me, "Son of man, stand on your feet and I will speak to you." So I immediately stood. And he said to me, "Son of man, I am sending you to be a prophet to my people. They are a rebellious people, impudent and stubborn. You shall say to them, 'Thus says the Lord.' Whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious people, they will at least know that there is a prophet among them. Do not be afraid of them," he said, "but speak what I tell you to speak. Son of man, hear what I say to you, and be not as that rebellious house to whom I'm sending you." Now, out of that terrifying vision, a hand came forth and gave me a scroll with writing on it, both on the front and the back. And as I read the scroll, I discovered that it was filled with lamentation and sorrow and woe. The voice spoke to me again, "Son of man, eat what is offered you and digest it and speak it to the house of Israel." So I did what I was told. I ate that scroll. It was sweet as honey in my mouth, but when it reached my stomach, it was bitter as gall. I wanted to vomit it up, but I could not. And it burned within me. And when that vision left me, I sat by the Kabar River among the exiles for 7 days, overwhelmed. After those 7 days, the Lord came to me again. It was time for my prophecy to begin. But it was not preaching that I was to do. Well, not really, but yes, in a sense it was. I was to be an object lesson. I was told in my vision to lay a brick on the ground and then build a miniature siege work around it with iron and ditches. Today, I think you would call that a diorama. I was in such a way to prophesy against Jerusalem because a siege like that was going to lay waste to the city. The Lord then told me that he would put what he called invisible cords upon me so that I could not move because I was to lie on my left side for 390 days without moving in front of that diorama, in front of that brick. And then I was allowed to turn over on my right side for 40 days more. Each day was to symbolize a year. 390 years of exile and punishment for Israel, 40 years for Judah. I was their object lesson. I was to suffer their exile. It was my job as prophet to the exiles. My food, in case you were wondering, my food for that year and 70 days was to be the barest necessities, and I'm not even going to tell you how it was cooked. You can readily see what my message was to be. Perhaps they would not listen to me, but at least they knew that a prophet had been among them. That began July 592 BC. Then in September 591 BC, the Lord came to me again. He took me in a vision to Jerusalem. And it was so nice to be home again, even though I knew this was just a vision. And it was even more pleasant for me when the Lord took me to see the temple in which I had been with other priests during my training. It was so great to see it again. But my pleasure soon turned to bitterness. That one, like the Son of Man, who I had seen in my earlier vision, came to me and by a lock of my hair pulled me up, lifted me above the temple, and he said to me, "Look over there by the north gate. Tell me what you see." I looked, and there I saw outside of the north gate the vision, again, that I had earlier seen of the four living creatures and the wheels and the rainbow. I was totally unprepared for that. And I understood what had happened even before the Lord told me. "See what they have done," he said. "They have put me outside my own temple." It was true. They had expelled the Lord from his own temple. How could that have happened? It soon became clear to me as the Lord took me then in this vision inside the temple, and I was astounded by what I saw there. 25 men in that temple bowing to the east, worshiping the sun that gives light to the sky in God's own temple. I don't know how I could have handled more, but more was shown to me, and I will spare you the details, but let's just say that the priests themselves were desecrating the temple of the Lord. But I was not finished with my prophesying. Not yet finished. The Lord told me that everyone in exile would come and listen to me because they knew there was a prophet among them, and that was true. They would come and sit before me because they knew I was a prophet. But the Lord was also right when he told me they would listen to me as they listen to a singer of love songs. "For they will listen to what you say, but they will not do it." But at least they would know there was a prophet among them. The Lord never leaves his people without a witness. I even spoke much to them about their restoration, telling them they would come back from captivity. It gave me the chance to talk to them about your Christ, when he would restore the kingdom of David in the latter days, never to fail again under that Christ. And I told them then about that valley of dry bones, when they would be put back together again, when they would come back to life, the very breath of God would enter in once again. But there's one other vision I especially want to share with you today. It was very close to the end of my life. Those who had survived the 1.5-year siege in Jerusalem were with me now in Chaldea. I repeated to these new exiles what the Lord had told me, that one day they or their children would return to their beloved city. And I told them they would never again worship an idol because they would never want to. I was able to assure them of that because of the amazing thing the Lord said to me. And this is it. These people, he said, will never again defile my name and make me ashamed to call them my own in the latter days. These people have defiled my name everywhere. When I gave them my land, they defiled my land. When I sent them into bondage and scattered them over the face of the earth, they defiled my name everywhere they went. But never again will they do that. I will see to it that they never again do that. Not because of them, but because of my name. I must protect my name, and therefore I am about to act not for the house of Israel, but to protect my name on the earth. I will make all the 8 nations of the earth know that I am the Lord God who is holy, and I will do it through my people. Therefore, I will take my people who are scattered throughout the earth in those latter days, and I will give them back their land. I will cleanse them and put a new heart and spirit within them. I will again make them great, and never again will they suffer disgrace. But let it be known to you that it is not for your sake, but for mine. And then the Lord continued, I made promises to you that the whole world knows I made, and I will fulfill my promises, even though you defiled my name everywhere you went. I made promises, and I will keep them, not because of you, but to protect my name. I have a reputation to uphold on the earth. And here is what I will do to accomplish this, he said. I will be so good to you that it will shame you. For you will remember how you sinned against me. I will give you every good thing. I will protect you. I will feed and clothe you and increase your flocks. I will forgive your sins. I will shower you with gifts. I will love you until you cannot contain it all. And then I will give you more until you cannot bear it, until you love me. Then my name will be vindicated. Are you aware that the Lord God did that for you in the Christ, in Jesus, his Son? He's done that for you. And he keeps doing it, even now. You want to know what happened to me? I'm going to tell you anyway. When the rest of the exiles came up to Chaldea from Jerusalem, they heard what I had said about them and my prophecies, and you know what they did? They killed me. My own people. Later again, they said, what a great prophet Ezekiel was. But my own generation put me to death. what is it about prophets that people cannot stand? I loved those people. All I wanted to do was serve them. I prayed for them. I pleaded with them. I hated the message that I had to give them. And believe me, I would have died for them. But they killed me. What is it about prophets that people cannot stand?